Hello and welcome to edition 270 of the NRF1 podcast, because Norfolk knows Formula One. This is your F1 podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK. We are in the comfort of our own homes once again, recording this online, but as ever, we're bringing you all the latest news and talking points from the wonderful world of Formula One. Coming up, Haas starting over, spin happy Stroll, and you can't cramp Hamilton's style. I am Damon Hill, radical and blogger, as well as part-time host Richard Baxter. And joining me on tonight's podcast is two times Beckles Kart champion, the Oracle, Kyle Cumbers.
Good evening, Rich. How are you?
Good evening. Yeah, all good. Thank you. How are you?
Yeah, all good. Can't complain.
Good, good. Fantastic. And also joining us two tonight is the Lewis Hamilton fanatic and multiple prediction lead champion, Steve Rust.
Hello. Good evening. Are we all right?
Yeah, all good. How are you guys been? You both keeping well?
Yeah, not too bad, yeah.
Good. Good. Fantastic. So we're here to review the Portugal Grand Prix, so let's jump straight into it. Because it's the first time that this Portimão circuit has hosted a Formula One race. What did you think, guys? Did you like it?
I loved it. It was brilliant.
We actually had a conversation, Steve, and we said, ditch the Spanish Grand Prix at Barcelona and stick Portimao in every year.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I'd go for that. I mean, I know the Spanish Grand Prix has been there for a lot of years, but it's never really been a great race. Even with the introduction of DRS, it's not really had many great ones, but this week's Grand Prix was brilliant. You know, I love the track. It's very different. It's a proper old school. I think I knew what the term old school was, and then I watched this weekend's and I was like, now I get it. So yeah, it's good. I loved it. Bring it on every year.
Yeah, so it was a brilliant track and really enjoyable. Well, what did you make of it, Carl? Did you like the circuit?
Yeah, I've seen it over the years with bikes, well, sort of World Superbikes go there, and seen it a few times. And they make it look good. But F1 made it look even better. Just love the ups and downs of it. It kind of had a bit of a feeling of like Brands Hatch, but then
yeah,
it's just. I mean, obviously new, and that kind of makes it exciting as well. So you should be careful, but it just seems it's just a proper racetrack. A bit of gravel, which any errors, you penalised. Big old long straight, quick corners, technical corners. Yeah,
and what was great to see as well, when there was people overtaking, it wasn't just down the straight into turn one. We had moments, I think there were several times, we had two cars side by side for about four or five corners, just constantly side by side. And they were really battling it out. It was great to watch.
It was that, was it Ocon Perez, wasn't it? That battle which went on for like forever, didn't it? It was a corner after corner.
Yeah, you just didn't know where to look because it never stopped.
Mm. Yeah, it's just... Like Steve said, you kind of hope they go back. And also, I know part of the reason is probably money, but there's a fairly decent crowd there, which is a good sign.
Yeah, definitely.
And maybe if they've just, like, you know, the European races, didn't you, in the past, not long ago, you could have like a European race each year, and you won at Portimão, won at Mugello, or see what Imola's like, and even Turkey. It just does look like they're gonna have a one-off sort of race each year from one of these sort of old school proper racetracks in Europe.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was an exciting race, I thought. And to be honest, it was straight from the start because there was like a slight bit of rain, just a few drops. And it kind of came back through the race. But that lap one, I mean, Carlos Sainz, he led early. He took the lead. Who saw that coming? I don't know. But obviously it soon returned to the normal order. But I mean, the front runners on medium tyres, soft tyres further back at the start, a little bit of rain, you know, not helping with the tyre warm-up and stuff. I mean, crazy exciting start, right?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I thought it was going to be a little bit more of Verstappen in the mix at the start because he was on softs, but he didn't really get into it, to be honest. And like, you got sights come through, which was nobody saw. It was brilliant because, I mean, within the sort of probably the sixth turn, six or seven, I think it was, or maybe even before that, and sort of Hamilton just turned in and just had no grip, and then Bottas went past him, you know, and then I think he might have briefly got overtaken by somebody else. I forget now. But, I mean, even the first lap, before we'd even got to the end of it, I mean, it was the race was alive. It was great.
Yeah, and we have to give a shout to Kimi Räikkönen here as well, because I think he said in an interview that he wondered what everyone else was doing, because he started, I think he started 16th. And by the end of lap one, I think it was, he was 7th place. He was, you know, right up there, flying.
It was like Ferrari days.
Yeah.
I was sort of starting to wonder if it was a bit like maybe a bit of rallying blood in you. Obviously, Bottas had a decent start. Obviously, got past Hamilton. Obviously, Sainz is the son of Carlos Sainz Sr. Obviously, two-time rally champion, was he? And obviously, then Kimi's done, or both Finns, you know, Kimi and Valtteri have both done a decent amount of rallying. So I wonder if it was all the rallying skills that sort of kicked in with a slightly damp conditions. But yeah, to go from, like I say, 16th to 7th, and also just double checked actually, because I couldn't remember, Carlos Sainz actually started 7th, and I can't remember when was the last time somebody started 7th and then leading the first lap. I mean,
that's cool.
Probably decades ago, couldn't it?
Yeah, that it could be so long ago. That's one heck of a stat. If anyone listening knows, give us a shout and tell us. Because yeah, I mean, no idea who that would be. I mean, that might even go back to Senna at Donington. Where did he start?
That's a good point. Yeah, that was. I can't remember where he started now. But yeah, I'm surprised. It's probably been said somewhere, but I haven't seen anything. I was wondering. Must be a long time ago since somebody's done that.
Yeah, definitely. That'd be an interesting stat to dig up. But I mean, plenty of action during the race. We should say. In the end, Lewis Hamilton, he just seemed in a class of his own. And he even had cramp in his leg later on in the race. And that couldn't stop him at all. And we really have to say this because we have seen history made, because he now has the record for race wins with a total of 92. I mean, wow.
Yeah, I mean, well... Where do you even begin to start on something like that? I mean, we all saw it coming, really, probably before the start of the season. I think most of us would have agreed that he's probably likely to beat that record. But until it happens, you don't always quite believe it, because it's a record that stood for 14 years?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's a long, long time. I mean, I can remember... watching sort of Hamilton after his sort of first title win, and the seasons rolled by, you know, without any succession. And I remember thinking, is he destined to win another championship? And, you know, here we are. He's beaten Schumacher's win record. He's beaten quite a few of his others. He's now about to equal his, you know, all-time championship record. I mean, it's just incredible. When you look back over the last six seasons, I think it is. Since the hybrid era when Mercedes came in as dominant. So, it's unbelievable. And it just seems to have flown by. I can't quite even at this stage remember even the best bits of it. It just seems to have all rolled into one for me.
Yeah, definitely.
Because there's just been a continuation of just dominance of win after win at podium. It's just gone on and on and on, and that's why I think in my head it's just all rolled into one, you know, probably the last sort of 6 years.
And what was really nice, the coverage on Sky Sports I saw, and they kept having kind of adverts with Hamilton and Schumacher alongside, and you know, kind of a split screen showing you the two and everything. And at the end of the race, Formula One even did a nice tribute where they showed all of Hamilton's kind of wins just cutting through like a little, you know, 10-second montage or something. And it really is history that we're seeing. And it was, I mean, I remember Michael Schumacher winning world championships, and now we've got Hamilton winning them. It's, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, as Michael Schumacher always said, the records are there to be broken. I mean, who knows, we could get another driver within the next 20 years go and beat it.
Good day.
It's a fascinating thing to see. And it's really quite amazing seeing this, what's going to be in the history books in 100 years' time.
It's just 92 races. That's a hell of a lot of races, isn't it? If you're an F1 driver and you have 92 races, that's a decent F1 career, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nearly sort of five seasons, isn't it? And somebody said, oh, how many races did you do? Oh, 92 races. Oh, you're fairly decent then. But to win 92 of them, it's mad, isn't it? It's just...
His
win ratio. Yeah.
Yeah, the stat about his win ratio. Did you see that?
Is it 37% now, is it?
Something ridiculous like that. I think it's over a third of the races that he's been in, he's won. So every one in three races, he's won. Which is a ridiculous stat.
Also, he's probably got more. He's got more race wins than actually seconds or something like that. That's just crazy, the amount of just pure wins he's got.
Yeah, it's remarkable. It really is. Really is in a class of his own with those. But obviously Hamilton won the race. Brilliant race. Bottas came home in second place, and Max Verstappen brought it back in third. We should mention a couple of other things that happened in the race, because there was a bit of drama. It started in FP2, I think it was, where Lance Stroll got a bit kind of... He seemed a bit crash happy this weekend, so he collided with Verstappen in practice. And then during the race, he collided with Lando Norris. And it was almost a carbon copy incident. And it was... what did you make of it? I mean... Yeah, Kyle, what did you make of the incident?
I thought in the practice, it was more Verstappen's fault than Stroll's. Sort of 60-40, really. They're both for being a bit silly and didn't give each other room. But then the... obviously the same corner as well. So he obviously didn't learn from his... learn from his mistake. The Stroll Norris thing was just 95% his fault. It's just you can't go around the outside of somebody and then aim for the apex of the corner, all the racing light. You just, and then go, oh, sorry, somebody there. You just can't go around the outside and do that.
It was just weird how he kind of was coming up behind Norris. He had so much more speed. He should have gone to the inside, but for whatever reason, he was like, yeah, outside, and even went over like the curbing.
Yes.
On the kind of outside of the track. He went over that to get past it. So there wasn't really the space to the outside anyway, because he was, essentially, some would argue, was off the track.
Hmm.
And like you say, to just turn in and think that Lando's not going to be there. I mean, he's going to be there.
It's not going to disappear, is he? It's just like, oh. There was all this nonsense, oh, he's not as quick because he's still recovering. He missed the last race. And that's like, it's one race, mate. Jesus,
I mean, Hülkenberg didn't show any slower in the race, did he? And he hasn't been racing all season.
Exactly.
Steve, what did you make of the Stroll Norris?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with the one in the race. I think that was quite clear cut. But actually, one in practice, I did read afterwards that he said he was too busy looking at his dash and didn't pay any attention to his mirrors. And I think Verstappen coming through to me with that piece of information was almost assuming that he was going to see him or had seen him and was going to move over. But then obviously he just kept going. So I suppose, to start with, when Kyle sort of said, oh, I think it was kind of a bit of their own half and half, and I was thinking, no, I think I'd have a different opinion. But actually, since I've now had a little thought about it, I think, yeah, you could go 50-50 on that, because he had plenty of time for Verstappen to sort of think, I don't think he's seen me. And they're meant to obviously have the best kind of reactions and stuff, because you could see he was still kind of following the racing line. It's not as if he'd suddenly just jumped over or started to move over. He was still on that line, so he would have thought quickly and thought, no, I don't think he's seen me. I better just back out of this instead of just keep him going. But in my opinion, that's some of that's just happened. So, here we are. What else can we say on that?
And it's worth mentioning as well, during the race, Verstappen's teammate, Albon, he he really struggled. He had a really difficult race. The other Red Bull driver of sorts, Pierre Gasly, he drove really well. I think Gasly came home in fifth in the end, with a really great late overtake on Sergio Perez. But Red Bull have come out and they said they're not going to swap them round. Are you surprised? Do you think that's the correct decision, or would you like to see another swap?
I mean, I personally wouldn't. I don't really like the way that Red Bull seems to sort of treat that second driver. I think there's a pretty bad history with that. Probably sort of since when Ricciardo left, they just sort of seems to have chopped and changed, and I don't know, it just seems like there's almost a completely different car they get. I'm sure it isn't. There must be other reasons, I'm sure, but it just seems like that second driver's given last year's car or something. There's just such a massive difference in performance on a consistent basis from the race to qualifying on week in, week out. And it just seems that they don't really get behind the driver and say, right, that's kind of try and get to the bottom of where you're slower, you know, where you can improve. It just seems to they just sort of say very publicly, you got, you know, two races to sort out, or you got to the end of the season, otherwise we're getting in someone else.
Yeah.
Which just seems pretty cutthroat, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just don't really like the way that they kind of treat at least that second place driver. They're obviously very loyal to Verstappen. I know he's doing a pretty good job with the car and stuff, but it's a team game, isn't it? Or a team effort, you know?
Yeah.
It's not just one driver, it's two of them, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, I don't really agree with it. I don't think that they should stop Ryan. I think Albon is a good driver. I think he's probably one of the better ones that they've actually sort of had in that other seat for a while, and I think they should persevere with him. And I think if they did work closely with him and try to get to the bottom of where he's struggling compared to his teammate, I think they could turn him into, you know, a driver that's equally as quick as Verstappen, that probably, you know, probably could challenge him week in, week out.
Fantastic. I couldn't agree more. It does seem that Red Bull kind of aren't as supportive. But we'll get stuck into this a little bit more later on. But for now, we should say, for everyone listening, there's plenty of ways for you to get in touch with us and let us know your opinions, so please do. Social media is the easiest. Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. The handle for all three is at TheNRF1. Head over to Patreon as well. Patreon.com/NRF1. patreon.com/NRF1. Normally you'll find the full edition of this podcast, including our Of the Weekend Awards, the Norfolk Notebook and the NRF1 Pit Stops. Those are on their way next if you're listening on Patreon. Thank you very much. Email us as well. The email address is nrf1podcast@gmail.com. And if you're on Twitch, give us a follow on there. Just search the NRF1, all one word. Soon, we're going to be doing some live race watch-alongs. They'll be later on this season, so you can let us know your opinion and discuss directly with us, me and some of the crew, live on the internet. So keep an eye out for that. And yeah, we'll be posting it all over social media.
Hello everyone, this is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers.
We've already spoken about some of the news that has been breaking or did break over the weekend. We'll just kind of go over and recap again. Haas, like we said, they're going to drop both drivers for next year. So we've got two new ones to come in. Red Bull, we've obviously mentioned about the trouble that Albon has kind of found himself in and the way that Red Bull are treating that second seat. I was reading a story, Red Bull have come out and said, we want Alex to claim the seat for his own. However, if it doesn't work out, they may have to look outside of their driver program for a replacement. So by that, you have to look at who's available. Obviously, currently without contract, you have Sergio Perez and Nico Hülkenberg. I think a lot of people would tout for those seats. Could you see either of those going to Red Bull?
Yeah, I was... I'm slightly confused by that line about they'll look outside the Red Bull drivers' pool, because then you're thinking, well, what's the point of Gasly being an AlphaTauri then?
Yeah.
Or AlphaTauri. If they do decide to maybe drop Albon back to AlphaTauri, then if they don't go for Pierre Gasly after the year he's had, he's kind of got no future really at Red Bull, has he? He's won a race, he's constantly, the amount of top finishes he's had this year and outperformed Kvyat. You kind of wonder what's the point of him being there.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see what happens, because obviously there's some talented drivers on the grid. These youngsters, Lando Norris and obviously George Russell. And you think, would Red Bull try and steal one of those from a rival? I'd be surprised if that happened. But it seems strange. I mean, if they wanted someone from outside, then they should have gone for Fernando Alonso whilst he was available. But Steve, who do you think they'd get back in? Do you think they'd pick anyone?
I must admit, I was also quite surprised with that sort of statement. But it did kind of make me sort of laugh to myself, because I sort of think, well, is it because you kind of run out of your own drivers that you've tried in that seat and then pushed back to the sister team? Is it a case you don't want to swallow your pride and get maybe one of the best ones out of them back? But yeah, I don't think there's that many options for them at the moment. Well, in terms of drivers that are actually on the grid, as opposed to maybe getting somebody that's previously been on the grid that might be test reserve driver, I don't really know who I could honestly see there. And I think it's a desirable team to go to, but with the kind of treatment, like I said earlier, how that second place driver gets, is it really that desirable to a lot of drivers? I don't know, really.
I mean, if you're a young driver, it could be your make or break for your career. You could be out of a drive within 6 months if it doesn't go well. So it's a strange statement that they've made, but we'll soon see.
Basically, Grosjean ended up in the seat. Quality, wasn't it?
I mean, could you imagine if he went there and started beating Verstappen? That'd be that'd be even better.
Just first race.
We'd all love to see that.
You never know. Maybe they'll just get maybe they'll get Kimi and give him a quick tryout or something for a year.
Yeah, I'm surprised Kimi's never ended up at Red Bull. I kind of think he's perfect for Red Bull, but.
Well, he's been to every other front-running team. He was obviously with McLaren. He was with Ferrari. So
it'd have been. I was thinking he was sponsored by Red Bull during his rally days as well, wasn't he? But
Saying that, he was with Sauber, wasn't he, at the start of his career, who I think was sponsored by Red Bull at the time.
Yes. Yeah.
So that makes sense. And the last bit of news that we need to talk about. There's been some rumours which have come out of Sergio Perez going to Williams, even though George Russell and Nicholas Latifi have contracts with them for next year. And George has come out and said that this is just the Perez camp who have started the rumour to try and unsettle things. Now, what do you make of this? It seems a very strange rumour and a very strange place for Perez to go to when, there's the likes of Haas who are looking for drivers.
Unless he sort of believes in the whole Williams project under the new owners, and obviously he brings his own money as well, which obviously helps. But yeah, it would be a strange, risky move for Perez, I think. But also, just be a real shame, as I mentioned earlier, for George Russell not to be on the grid.
Yeah, definitely. And to be honest, if they were to get rid of George, I'd be completely shocked, because I think he's shown that he is one of the best drivers on the grid right now.
Yeah. Although it did also make me slightly cringe as like when he said, I've got a contract. Like, so did Perez.
Yeah, so did Ocon a couple of years ago when he was he left Racing Point.
It's like, you do, but teams find a way of getting around that sometimes.
Yeah, we'll see. But hopefully George will stay. Right, I think it's the perfect time. We need to look ahead to the next race, which is the Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix, which is at Imola. So I'm just going to call it Imola because it's so much shorter and easier to say. This is the first time I've been back to this circuit in a long time. Do you know when the last race there was?
Was it 97?
It was nearly 10 years later than that. It was 2006, the last race there.
Really?
Yeah, I was surprised when I saw that as well.
I'd have gone close to what Steve said.
Yeah, do you know who the last winner was in 2006?
Let's guess. I'll say Alonso, but...
You guess Alonso, did you say?
Yeah.
It was Michael Schumacher.
That was it, really?
And there's only one man who's still on the grid who raced there in 2006.
Kimi Raikkonen?
Kimi Raikkonen, absolutely. Okay. He was in McLaren then.
Yeah,
so in there. So this is, you know, really quite a new circuit to most of the grid, obviously, apart from Kimi. Do you think there'll be a few surprises in there, or do you think it'll be kind of straightforward in terms of how they qualify and how the race goes?
I think off of the back of this weekend, I mean, with the new circuits that we've had this year, it's Mercedes has outclassed everyone on it, but you probably would expect that. But I think in terms of other teams, other drivers, I think you could easily have another race like last weekend, you know, where you've got surprises and what have you. People like Leclerc doing quite well, like the start Sainz had, things like that. I don't really, if I'm honest, know too much about the circuit. Weirdly, I was actually watching Formula One back when that was on, but I don't ever remember watching a race at that circuit. I'd have to look more into it and maybe look at some old YouTube stuff before we get into the race.
It's quite a cool circuit layout that they have there. Although I gather it has slowed down a lot from how it used to be. Mm. It is, of course, the famous circuit where Senna had his terrible, horrific accident.
I kind of associate this track with that incident, which is... It's a bit of a shame, but it's kind of what I associate it with.
And there's one other memory I have of this circuit, which was Damon Hill racing there. I think it was in 96, but he was just racing through, and there was a bit where he got it a bit wrong and he cut the chicane. I just remember Murray Walker shouting and Damon Hill skips the chicane. It was all drama and racing. But looking at the circuit, I'm sure it's bound to still be super fast. It's quite an incredible track. I mean, there's not really any straight on there. Even the pit straight is curves.
Yeah.
There are, you know, only slight. I'm sure Formula One cars will be flat out. But I think it could be a very fast circuit indeed.
And also the lack of practice they'll have as well, which may cause a few surprises, because there's obviously no Friday this weekend.
Yeah.
So they might cause a few different results.
Absolutely.
Also in November in Europe as well. So there's always, even in Italy, there's probably still a chance of some weather around.
Yeah. Well, I had a look at the weather for Imola when I was writing up stuff for tonight. Today it was raining. However, it says for the rest of the week that it's going to be dry and about 17 degrees. Perfect. So I mean, not as hot as it was the last race when we were in Italy, but still an okay temperature. It's worth saying as well, Mercedes could wrap up the Constructors' Championship this weekend. It's looking pretty set for them to do so, because Red Bull have to outscore Mercedes by 33 points to keep it going. So it looks like Mercedes have got another Constructors' Championship. That'll be interesting to see. But I mean, like you say, with how these new circuits have been and kind of the unpredictability of it, who knows what might happen. But who do you think will be the biggest challenges for the race?
Well, probably your likely suspects in the usual places, but I tend to sort of think that Ferrari might, well, in certainly in the hands of the clear, will probably have another tidy weekend, I think. Personally, I mean, it'll be good for them, obviously, being back in Italy as well, because I don't think at Mugello, if I remember rightly, without looking at the results online, I don't think they had a particularly very good weekend, really, did they? So yeah, I think for them, I think I would probably predict a fairly decent weekend. Anyone else going to add anything else?
Kyle, what about you? Do you think anyone new will challenge, or do you think it'll be the usual?
It'll be the usual, yeah. It'd just be interesting to sort of, kind of interesting to see the midfield battle, you know, who will come out on top between McLaren, Renaults and Ferrari and, you know, Gasly as well, isn't there? And Racing Point, that's a good little battle at the moment.
It is. We should say, actually, yeah, that for third, fourth and fifth in the Constructors' Championship, you've got Racing Point, McLaren and Renault. Racing Point on 126 points and Renault on 120, with McLaren in between the two on 124. So 6 points separating third and fifth place in that Constructors. That's a lot of money that is on those positions. And these teams are going to be really fighting for that, aren't they?
Yes, yes. Like I said, it's pride and money, isn't it? Yes. I said, if you took the front three out, you know, every race would be absolutely mad, and you have no idea who would win. But it's just, that's the way Formula One is. It's often the dominant team.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Well, I think we might as well move straight on and have a look at some predictions. Anything you guys want to predict for the Emilia Romagna Grand Prix?
You've done that pretty well.
I've been practicing. Yeah. I've been sat here all day saying it over and over.
I thought you were sticking to calling it Imola.
Yeah, I was going to do that, wasn't I? Yeah. I've broke my own rules there. So, yeah, Imola. Who have you got? And let me just get this off my chest while you're thinking, actually. Because this circuit used to be the San Marino Grand Prix. San Marino, yes. Obviously a tiny little country, which is basically in Italy.
Yeah.
But this time it's not the San Marino Grand Prix. So why have they renamed it, even though it was the San Marino Grand Prix 10 years ago? Or 15 years ago, whatever, you know.
Isn't it whoever owns the rights to, like, the promoters? I think promoters own the rights to, like, certain names? Isn't it why the... Because the Nürburgring was called, what, was the Eiffel Grand Prix or what it was called? I think there's some sort of weird naming rights to certain things. Far too complicated, probably.
Well, I've just kind of cheated a slightly and just had a little look on the map. So it's sort of, the track is halfway between San Marino and the Bologna, I think is how you pronounce it.
Bologna, yeah.
Bologna. So it's not actually right in sort of San Marino. So I thought the San Marino Grand Prix and Imola were two separate ones. I wasn't really aware that was the same race. Unless I'm wrong. I'm sort of thinking back to the 90s, but it was 2006 we last raced here, so...
Yeah, that's what it said on the internet.
Oh, okay.
But some of the names are weird, aren't they? Like, Nürburgring for years was called a couple of years called the Luxembourg Grand Prix, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's very strange how they've done it.
But... I suppose technically you could own the rights to call your Grand Prix the British Grand Prix, but you could end up racing in Russia, can you? I suppose, is that possible? I don't know.
I like that idea. Let's just have a British Grand Prix everywhere in the world.
Yeah, just different parts of the world.
But yeah, weird. It kind of makes sense, though. But predictions. Any predictions you guys want to make? We've got the side track there. Sorry, my fault.
I'm going to go Perez to finish fourth.
I like that shout. Good shout.
Um, I'm going to sort of say that the Charles Leclerc is going to get on the podium.
Ooh. Ooh. That's a shout.
Yeah. Probably hopelessly wrong, but, you know.
I don't know. You two are the all-time champions of the prediction league. I think you guys have won it the most, probably. So, I think, yeah, your words are pretty safe bets rather than mine. But
so, how about you, Richard?
Knowing how fast the circuit looks and how fast the Renaults have been on fast circuits, I'm going to say both Renaults in the top six.
Both Renaults top six. I like that.
Top six.
Good show.
I felt a bit sorry for Ocon after the race of the weekend. I thought he had a decent race.
He did.
For him. Yeah, but
yeah. He had a decent race, so yeah. We'll see what happens. Hopefully that'll be an exciting race, but whatever happens, we'll be here to talk about it again and go through all of it. But yeah, we will return with E271, which will be our review of Imola. Otherwise, I think that is everything wrapped up. So thank you, Carl and Steve, for joining me.
Yeah,
thanks, Rich.
And yeah, we'll see you all next time on E271. This has been the NRF1 podcast. We'll see you next time. Until then, goodbye from the crew, goodbye from me. Good night.